Let me close this door. Actually, I guess David's probably still back there. This week, I guess Thursday morning, I went to the hospital to visit Clifford Page. He was not in the room. They had him down doing an MRI or some procedure. As some of you know, Clifford was in the hospital. They took him in to remove his bladder for bladder cancer. I found out his prostate was full of cancer, which I did not know. And he was in the hospital 50 days, in intensive care much of that time, and had three or four surgeries, several of the major surgeries while he was in the hospital. Came home for a week or so, started feeling poorly again, took him back, and evidently he's got possibly some leakage in his bowel or small intestine. I'm not really sure where it is, but things were not looking very good Thursday morning. And I sat in the room and talked with Betty and tried to encourage her heart. Boy, what a trial. Probably the greatest trial they've ever been through in their life. Now, is it possible for a believer to have victory during these great trials? And if so, what is it that will get you through the trial? Now, in my devotions this week, I've been reading in Ephesians. You can turn to Ephesians chapter 6 if you've not so far. And I don't know if it was Wednesday or Thursday, I read Ephesians 6, 10 through 17, which is a very familiar passage, but something jumped out at me in verse 13, and it's the words that ye may be able to withstand in the what? Evil day. In the evil day. Now, we typically think of this passage as just temptation, and it is, but the word temptation and trial are the same word in the New Testament. And I want to talk to you this morning about the fact that you as a believer have everything you need to stand in the evil day. There is no doubt in my mind that there are people in this room today who are believers, who are trying to serve God, but you are going through what would be called an evil day, a difficult time, a time of trial, a time of testing. And I want to look at this passage this morning and try to help us to understand what God has given us that will help us to stand. Okay? So let's read the passage, Ephesians 6, starting in verse 10. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God, notice, that ye may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Wherefore, because of the fact that we're fighting these spiritual enemies, take unto you the whole armor of God, notice again, that ye may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, having put it all on, to do what? To stand. And then verse 14. Stand therefore, having your loins girt about with truth, and having on the breastplate of righteousness, and your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace, above all taking the shield of faith, wherewith ye shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked, and take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, and watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints. First of all, this morning, I want you to see the presence of the evil day. Now, this word evil in the Word of God is also translated bad or wicked, lewdness, malicious, or harmful. So it's a rather broad word. It can cover a whole lot of different circumstances. And I think really we can apply it to any trial, any temptation that we go through. Now, when you go through a testing or a trial, and I'll cover this more in a moment, there are really two purposes or two different purposes. One is God's purpose and one's the devil's purpose. And in any trial you go through, the devil is seeking to make it a temptation and get you to fall into sin. God is allowing you to be tested, not to hurt you, but to make you better. Now, we'll talk about that more in a minute. But you may be going through some of those evil days right now. It could be, well, let me just ask you, what are some evil days that folks in our class might be going through right now? Sickness, physical problems, sure. What else? What's that? Children. What'd you say, children? Family problems. Okay. What's that? Job problems. Okay. Financial problems. Addiction problems. To all kinds of things. What else? What's that? Yeah, business. Definitely a business problem. Can't get help, can't get insurance. Sure. Now, folks, these are evil days. So that's the character of the evil day. But secondly, the certainty of the evil day. The simple matter of fact is, folks, you're going to have it at some point or other. Now, let me give you a couple reasons why. It's because God hates you. By the way, who tells you that when you're in a trial?
Satan
does. You bet he does. We'll talk about that. But number one, it's the corruption of sin. You know, God didn't create this world with these problems, folks. When God created the world, he said it was good. It was good. It was good. And he got all done and he said it is very good. And then comes Genesis chapter 3. And turn to Genesis chapter 3. Hold your place in Ephesians 6. Genesis chapter 3. Of course, this is the fall of mankind. Lucifer, Satan comes along and tempts them. They fall into sin. And notice verse 17. And unto Adam he said, because thou hast hearkened unto the voice of thy wife and hast eaten of the tree of which I commanded thee, saying, thou shalt not eat it. Notice, cursed is the ground for thy sake. In sorrow thou shalt eat of it all the days of thy life. Thorns also and thistles shall it bring forth to thee. Thou shalt eat the herb of the field. In the sweat of thy face shalt thou eat bread till thou return unto the ground. For out of it wast thou taken. For dust thou art, and unto dust shalt thou return. And we can look on to where he talks to Eve. And he said, oh, there's going to be pain and childbirth. And your husband's going to have authority over you. And look, the simple matter of fact is, sin has affected everything in this world. Why do people get sick? Well, let me back up. Did Adam and Eve ever get sick before the fall? No. No weeds. Can you imagine that? No sweat. I mean, you just enjoyed it. I mean, what a deal. Everything has been corrupted. Every person, every relationship, every body has been affected by sin and the curse of the fall. And not only that, folks. The Word of God tells us that this world, this creation, is being run now, not by God, although God is sovereign over all things, but he's allowed Satan to be the prince of the power of the air, and he is ruling in this world, and he is a liar and the father of it, and he's a murderer, and he's the ruler of all darkness, and he's the wicked one, which is our word evil, by the way, same word. And guess what, folks? He's ruling this world. Why are we in a mess? Well, them politicians. Well, they're no help, but but it's the powers behind the politicians, the problem. See, the greed, the desire for power, for money, for position. Where did all that come from? It came from the fall. Why do we have relationship problems? Because of the fall. Why is there sickness? Because of the fall. In Ephesians 2:2, it says he's the prince of the power of the air. And interesting, and back in Ephesians chapter 6 and verse 12, notice it says, the ruler of the darkness of this world. God is sovereign, but he's allowing Satan to work. And so Job comes to the conclusion as that what happens? Yet man is born under trouble as what? As the sparks fly upward. And he says in Job 14:1, man that is born of a woman is a few days and full of trouble. Nobody knows. Now, I joke about that, but the simple matter of fact is, you're in it or you're going to be in it. Now, Melina mentioned their store situation. And a month ago, things were not great with the economy, but they were moving along until they got a letter in the mail saying that their insurance had been canceled. Boy, the evil day arrived in a heartbeat, didn't it? I mean, all you had to do was open that envelope and boom. Trouble's going to come. The evil day. And I, you know, as I look around this room, I see people who have gone through evil days. I mean, I see it. They've gone through difficult times. The certainty or the presence of the evil day, folks, is going to happen. Now, secondly, I want you to see the purpose of the evil day. And again, this is twofold. And I want to look at the devil's purpose, and I want to look at God's purpose. Okay? So, number one, the purpose of the evil day, the devil's purpose. Why does Satan bring the evil day in your life? Okay? Is it to help you? It's to defeat you, to destroy you. And really, he has two purposes. One, his first purpose, for those that are unbelievers, is to damn their soul to hell. I mean, you know about Lucifer, the angel of light. He was in heaven and rebelled against God. He said, I'll be like the Most High God. God said, no, you won't. And God cast him out of heaven. And God has prepared a place for him, a place that is prepared for the devil and his angels, Matthew 25:41, a place of fire and torment. Boy, don't you look forward to Revelation 20:10, when the devil is going to be cast in the lake of fire for all eternity? I mean, this is a done deal, folks. He's going down. But he is not content to go down by himself. And his first job is to try to take as many people as he can with him. Many of you know people that are bound by sin, bound by Satan, headed for hell. My neighbor, nice guy, will do anything in the world for me, except get saved. And I have wept with him, and I've given him the gospel, I have prayed for him, and he just doesn't see the need. Why? I think the devil has blinded his heart. He's hardened his heart. He won't get saved. That's what the devil wants to do, folks. He wants to take as many people to hell with him as he can, but not only that, he wants to devour people. Isn't that what 1 Peter 5:8 says? Be sober. Be vigilant for your adversary. Is he for you or against you? He's your adversary. He's against you as a roaring lion. And what does he do? He goes about as a roaring lion, walking about seeking whom he may devour. Now, aren't you glad the moment you got saved, the devil said, well, he's going to heaven. I can't touch him. I'm just going to leave him alone. Anybody have that experience? Any super saints here? No. In fact, he probably redoubles his efforts to destroy your life. Yes, your soul is secure. He can't touch your soul. It's going to heaven. Hallelujah. Thank the Lord for that. But your life is still there, and he's after you. Did you realize this morning when you got up that the devil is hot on your trail? Doug Shoup? The devil's after you. Nancy Hall, the devil's after you. Russ Mosier, the devil's after you. Ed Perkins, the devil's after you. And he wants to destroy your life. He wants you to turn your back on God and to live for him. He wants you to sin. He wants you to do anything that's anti-God. In fact, you know one of his names is Apollyon. You know what Apollyon means? Destroyer. Destroyer. And he is set out to destroy your faith. He may bring a lung problem into your life to try to destroy your faith. He may bring an insurance problem into your life to destroy your faith. I meet people all the time who've had their faith destroyed. Oh, I used to go to church down here at this, whatever, but them deacons at that church, or that pastor at that church, or those people at that church, or I went through a trial and their faith has been destroyed. Did you know that God is out to destroy your family? Now think about that. You've got two children. God wants Luke, or Satan wants Luke. God does too. Satan is after Luke. Now think about that. We know he's definitely after hope. He's winning too often there now. She's a good one. God is after. Hey, I want you to know something. God is after your marriage, or the devil's after your marriage. He wants to destroy your marriage. You better believe he does. Now, folks, the devil is out to destroy your life. And he may bring sickness, calamity, persecution, tragedy, all kinds of things. He wants to destroy your testimony. Boy, doesn't he ever want to do that. He wants to destroy you. He wants to destroy your ability to serve. Now notice in this passage, when we have trouble, usually they're physical problems, and we think of physical solutions, don't we? But what are we really battling here? Notice in verse 12. Now, he's going to say, look, I want to remind you, when your kids are rebellious, now let's think about it. When your kids are rebellious, you're focused on the physical problem, aren't you? But what's the real issue here? He says, we wrestle not against flesh and blood. When you have a relationship problem, we look at a physical thing. We think, oh, it's all physical. Wait a minute. He said, no, you're not wrestling against flesh and blood, but against principalities and powers, these superhuman powerful beings, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against, now they're not even just here, guess where else they are? Against spiritual wickedness in high places. I mean, there is a heavenly battle going on. Years ago, I read Frank Peretti's books, This Present Darkness, Piercing the Darkness. Now, he's charismatic. There are some things you would disagree with, and I do too. So just that footnote. The one thing, though, that helped me tremendously was he pictured that battle. I mean, he'd have the church in there, the people in the church praying, and the battle is going on. The more they prayed, the greater the victory was for the angels of God. And I thought, wow, I just don't see it that way. But that's how it is. There's a spiritual battle going on for your life right now. Right now, Joey, it's going on for you. There's a battle going on for your life. David, it's going on for you. All those wicked employees you have there at Jersey Mike's. Remember, it's a spiritual problem. I know you got a lot of good ones. He said, look, folks, we're battling against all these spiritual powers, all these principalities, these powers, these things. And he said, look, you need to realize that you're battling against those things. And he said, look, I want you to see the method of the enemy. Look at verse 11. Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against. The one little kid said the willies of the devil. That's not bad. Because it'll give you the willies. But it's the wiles of the devil. And that word means to lie in wait for someone. The wiles. The methods. The word is actually methodosis or something. Now here's the picture. Let me, Mike, come and help me here. Here's Mike Hubbard. He works for Kingsport City Schools. And Mike is going about his everyday life, walking along, start over there, and walk this way. Okay? You don't have to, this one, think about imagine, I'm the devil, all right? So. And the devil is lying in wait, and when Mike comes by, he's going to pounce out, and he's going to get him. Now, that's the picture here. Okay? You got it? Is that clear enough? Thank you, sir. You do fine work. Yeah, good. The simple matter of fact is, folks, as you travel down life's journey, the devil is lying in wait for you. And we are very ignorant about this, and we are very passive about this, and I don't think we even think about it, folks. We just think we can stroll through life. Hey, I'm saved. I'm going to heaven. I can stroll through life. It's a cakewalk. It's no big deal. It's easy. I can handle this. And if that's how you feel, you're going down. Because the devil's after you, folks. He wants to destroy you. He wants to devour you. Now, what is the chief method of the devil? What is the main tool of the devil? Well, we can go all the way back to Genesis chapter 1, or chapter 3, and it tells us some things about the devil. How is he described in Genesis 3? He is subtle. What does that mean? Sneaky. He doesn't come up and say, hey, Joey, why don't you start drinking beer? In fact, and then you can move on to whiskey. And when you do that, you're going to lose everything. And you're going to lose your job at Food City. And you're going to lose your house. And you're going to be sleeping in the gutter. Won't that be great, Joey? You want to do that? That's not very subtle, is it? That's not how the devil works. Instead, he said, hey, Joey, one beer won't hurt you. I mean, it's hot. Nothing like cold beer on a hot summer day. I mean, boy, just one won't hurt you. You can tell I've never drank in my life, so I have no idea what I'm talking about. And he gets him started. And then, hey, couple. Well, that one's so good, why not have one more? And he's subtle, and he starts it down the road. You see, in all the commercials, all the guys are drinking. They're driving Corvettes, and they got beautiful women hanging all over them. See? That isn't real life. He is subtle. He is a liar. And he gets to, you know how he starts? He gets you to question God. Joey, I know that preacher said you shouldn't drink, but what does he know? I know the Bible says it's wrong to get drunk, but that, isn't that what God did to Eve? Hath God said? And then he moved from there to, oh, if you eat, you're not going to die. And this is the devil's chief method. And I see I'm only halfway through and I've got 8 minutes. No, we'll just finish it up 2 weeks. All right. So I'm going to camp here a while, all right? This is the devil's method. He is a what? He's a liar. In John 8:44, it says, he is the liar and the father of all lies. And I want to tell you something, folks. This week, the devil's going to lie to you. He's going to lie to you. He's going to lie to you. And as Betty was up in that hospital, the lie the devil had handed her was, this is never going to end. There's no end to this. It's just going to go on and on and on and on. You see, the Word of God says in 2 Corinthians 11:14 that he comes as an angel of darkness, right? That's what he is. But he comes as an angel of light. It's going to be so nice. You know, you've been married to that lady for 30 years. And she just doesn't really meet your needs. And she's not near as attractive, and she's gained several pounds. And that lady you work with, who's much younger and slim and trim and so attractive, and that you get along with so well at work, why don't you start talking to her? Hey, go out to lunch with her. It's not a big deal. I mean, just a coworker. Oh, a few emails won't hurt anything. And pretty soon you're in the divorce courts, and we don't see you anymore. Wow, the devil is subtle. He's subtle. Now, I've got 3 minutes. Let me at least start on this, okay? What is God's purpose? That's the devil's purpose, okay? What is God's purpose? Now, is God sovereign? Is God in control? Has anything ever happened in your life that God did not author or allow? Well, no, because he's sovereign, okay? Why would God allow these things to come into our lives? We know why the devil does. The devil does it to do what? Destroy. Deceive us, destroy us, okay? Why does God do it? Here's the simple truth. God allows these things to come into our lives to make us better. To purify us. To conform us to the image of his dear son. What a great truth. Turn to Hebrews chapter 12. Hebrews chapter 12. This is the chapter that talks about the chastening of the Lord. Hebrews 12, verse 10. Twelve ten. For they verily, this is the earthly parents, for a few days chastened us after their own pleasure. Now notice the next phrase. But he for our punishment. But he for our destruction. But he because he doesn't love you. But he because he doesn't care about you. But he for our profit. Profit. Why does God chasten his children? To make them better. Look on in the passage. That we might be partakers of his holiness. Now, no chastening for the present seemeth to be joyous, and we would all say, amen. But grievous. Nevertheless, afterward it yieldeth the peaceable fruit of righteousness unto them which are, this is a neat word, exercised thereby. Some of you need some spiritual exercise. God does it for our profit, folks. To refine us, to make us better. That's why Job could say, but he knoweth the way that I tell. Oh, what? I almost jumped through. Think of that verse right there. How many of you ever said, the devil come in when you go through a trial and said, God didn't know about this. God didn't care. But he knoweth the way that I take. And when I am tried or tested or have an evil day, I shall come forth as gold. Now, I'm going to stop there, but I really didn't even get to the whole point of this thing. Okay? Let me give you a brief proof. Now, next week we have combined Sunday school in the auditorium with Dr. Fagali, okay, for Faith Promise. 2 weeks we'll come back to this. If the devil's chief tool, what is the devil's chief tool? Destroy, but what does he use? Lies. All right. So, and this is the rest of this lesson, okay? In three words. If his great thing is lying, and as this is what I shared with Betty. Then our greatest defense is the truth. And it's not your truth. It's not your reasoning. It's not your logic. Have you ever tried to argue with the devil in temptation on your own reasoning? Well, I'm not going to do that because that's silly. I'm smarter than that. That's not the right truth, folks. Now look, and we're going to hit this in 2 weeks, okay? This week, though, I don't want to leave you unprepared, okay? When the devil comes this week and lies. Bennett, he's coming. Okay? He may already be camped out waiting for you. He's going to lie. And he's going to say to you, oh, that's okay. That's no big deal. Don't worry about it. It's a peace thing. You're going to really enjoy it. You better use the truth. You better use the sword. You better use the shield. You better have the helmet. Okay? And they all involve the Word of God and the truth. The truth. Now, if you're going to use the truth, then you've got to know the truth. And that's why you should spend time every day in the Word of God. Boy, there's so much I'd like to tell you, but our time is done. Okay? Lord, I pray that you'd help all of us to realize the great battle that we're in. Now, there are some folks here today in the midst of an evil day. And I pray that they would run to your word and camp on the truth. Find the truth for their situation, that God is able to help them, that God's grace is sufficient. Whatever the truth they need, I pray you'd give it to them today and help them to run to you and find the truth and defeat the devil and his lies, I pray. In Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Okay, I'll take that down. Thank you.